This is Dong to Brass Stocks. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am all right. How are you?
Good. Money here, here.
All right.
Now, poker.
Okay. The last time, Peter, you were on the program, that was the week before.
Right.
You were not on last week.
Yeah. Dennis kept me away last week, so.
Okay. You had some stoppers because you were discussing the topic which occurred today to the Common Entrance Examination. And there were some people in the chat, in the WhatsApp, who seemed to have disagreed with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you made your remarks that I am trying to put these points to the people, and these clowns on the WhatsApp disagreeing with me. And I am saying, Peter, that is an unfortunate comment. It's an insensitive one, especially coming from you, because normally you ask people to apologize for things that they say. Maybe just slip of the tongue. But I didn't hear you apologize to anybody for it. You just went on smoothly as though it is nothing.
You assume I was sorry.
Oh, they're clowns. Oh, I didn't realize.
But so, I could only apologize if I was sorry.
Oh, so, okay, well, I now understand you. So people disagree with you are clowns. Okay.
Not necessarily, no. sir, there are a number of people that disagree with me that are not clowns. I have no difficulty with disagreement. Sir, if I come to you and I say, this is the case. For example, this conversation I'm having about Guyana now. I prepare data. I put the data in the public domain, and I encourage a conversation about the data in which I make points. If someone says to me, you would only say that because you're getting paid money by the PPP Civic, well, you could only be a clown. When a person in the chat says to me, you're only saying that because you didn't get to go to Harrison College, well, you could only be a clown.
The thing is,
you get my point?
I hear what you're saying.
Right. So let's have a sophisticated conversation about areas of disagreement. And then I will not have need to call anybody a clown. But if we are discussing something at a particular level where we are using an evidence-based conversation, and you can start going on a road telling me about my husband or this or that, but as far as I'm concerned, you're a clown.
Peter,
I have no time for that kind of conversation.
You may not have time for the conversation, but there's ways of dealing with it to show you don't have time.
All right, but you tell me...
I ain't cursing nobody.
I ain't cursing nobody. Dennis will never allow that. Anyhow, what is your disagreement regarding the position I have put on the table this week? And let's have a conversation about that.
Well, okay, my first thing was to deal with that, what I said, but now you made your position clear that you feel that people are clowns.
There are some people who are clowns, yes, sir. There are a number of people who call this program or who contribute on WhatsApp that are clowns.
Professionally on radio is not a good thing to say. That's my point of view. Now, regarding
the life is hard.
Life is hard. Well, it just feels as if
you've never met an idiot?
I would not go on radio and call nobody an idiot.
But have you ever met an idiot?
I have met one, but I wouldn't call anybody one.
Right. I've met several. And unfortunately, there are times in life when you have to accept that an idiot will always be an idiot.
Yes.
Which is not to imply that anybody online or anybody that I've called on the program is an idiot.
Well, I just feel like there's a place and a time for everything.
Of course. And sometimes the place is here and the time is now.
Not the calling program to call anybody a clown.
But sir, if the person is not making sense, what am I to do?
But every day, so you got to be calling people clowns every day because not making sense.
What I'm saying to you, sir, is that we often have conversations with people. One of the things I like about Anti-America is that Anti-America will call in and he would say something that I fundamentally disagree with. But sir, we have an exchange from which people can learn because it's two opposing views, but yet still it is an exchange that is in a healthy, evidence-based manner. My challenge is that when I have someone who reads something or hears something that I say, which is evidence-based, and then responds by saying, well, you only said that because you didn't get to go to Harrison College, what am I supposed to say? I can't discuss and argue with that. I have learned in life, sir, that there are some people who will respond to logic. And there are other people for who the world is flat.
But
I learned that a long time ago in this business. But, sir, if you are of the opinion that the world is flat, there's really no reason for me to call you anything other than a clown.
I I really don't agree with that. A matter of fact,
right, and my way of doing it is that I'm dismissing you because it doesn't make sense engaging with you, because if you believe the world is flat, then so be it.
Well, anyhow, I disagree with you, but let me look at this other thing with the common interest.
Please do. Let's get on to that quickly.
Not as the reason whether it should or should not go, but I want to make the point that I disagree with you that the pressure, the opposition to it, caused Cynthia Bradshaw to change her mind and to put it back.
Fair enough.
I say that because there are so many things the government has done that has more opposition than common entrance, and the government still press ahead.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the pushing down of this building here, NIS had a lot of opposition, but the government said it's moving.
They still push it down.
And they push it down.
Right.
So I'm saying if Cynthia want to go forward with the common entrance abolishment of it,
mm-hmm.
she could if she wanted to. So it has to be some other reason. Now, one of the things that a lot of you may forget, though, and that is that Cynthia Bradshaw was not the first person in authority to move this idea about the abolition. It was actually the Prime Minister last year. She said it was going to be the last. At that time, Cynthia Bradshaw was in Miami getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
When she came back, she followed up on it. So the Prime Minister very much is involved in it as well. But the main point I was making is that there has to be other reasons. I listened to y'all on Sunday when y'all were speaking with Mr. Brooms, and I found that he dominated the show. He put his point, and I find that y'all, Sandy, who is always an advocate for almost immediate change and abolition, she was pretty quiet too.
Who's Sandy?
Sandy was quiet on the Sunday that you were there, right? Both you and Sandy took a back seat.
I was?
I let Broomer talk. And it's good to do it because Broomer is an educator and he's fairly solid, as you know.
But she's solid too.
She saw it? Well, let me tell you something. In as much as Cynthia was rooting for the abolition.
You're talking about Sandy, not Cynthia.
Sandy, the educator. Sandy, the educator.
Yeah.
Right? She was in the studio. But in as much as she wanted the immediate abolition, I saw on social media or the Nation News on my computer.
I saw it too, but she's saying no 3 years.
She said, listen, no, it is too rush.
But, sir...
Everything is wrong with it all of a sudden.
Sir, listen, I love Sandy. I love the contribution that she has made. But I think in this...
Yeah.
Because I think that Sandy doesn't have the ovarian fortitude. Maybe withdraw that comment. Sorry, Dennis can catch it to cut it.
Right.
The ovarian fortitude that neither Santia nor Mia has. Because I think that she fears the backlash if it is done too soon. But I would say to Sandy to gird her loins and brace herself and prepare, for the end is near. That song is biblical, no?
But Mr. Brooms make a point. And he like, find out never again more.
But because Brooms feels so, but Brooms don't know the nature the BC dealing with. I don't think Brooms ever met Mia Motley.
But listen, Miss Motley is the first body to say moving since last year. Last year was to be last. And
no,
but
I would tell you this. Miss Motley was not the first person that said it. Because I was taught by a gentleman called Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford, who at the time was just Erskine Sandiford. And he reminded me once when we were having this conversation years ago. He reminded me that this 11 plus debate was actually going on at the time that he was Minister of Education. And he said, if we are going to abolish the 11 plus, the first thing we have to do is we have to make all the schools equals, which means we need to take away all of these sixth forms. And that's why he created the Barbados Community College. So far be it to say that Prime Minister Motley was the first person that said she wanted to remove it. We had a situation where Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford, many decades before that, made concrete moves towards removing the 11 plus. But he said, once we got to the stage of agreeing on the Barbados Community College, the others, which I am assuming is the cabinet, lost the testicular fortitude. In their case, it would have been testicular. In this case, no, it is ovarian.
You know what is your fundamental issue with it, though?
11 plus? The clip I read just now about teaching a fish to climb a tree.
I don't understand that, so I won't go with that. Give me something else.
But, sir, it's easy to understand that you cannot assess my intellectual capacity in English, math, and comprehension, because that makes the fundamental assumption that my strengths are in English, math, and comprehension.
Well, you see,
sir, if it is that we accept that some of us have disabilities, I prefer not to use that language. Others, we have different abilities. And I think that an educational system that is fair is an educational system that seeks to identify our abilities and shows us how we can use our abilities to make a contribution to life. And I give you the example, sir, of someone like myself who had educational challenges all along.
And the system helped you.
And you know what? The system helped me. The system helped Santia Bradshaw. The system helped me and Motley.
Right.
My concern is not for the three of us, because as I have always said, I have not been hard done by the system. But the reason I have not been hard done by the system is because I had compensating mechanisms. So my ability to deal with my dyslexia has a lot to do with the fact that I had the family support. I had the financial resources to take action that would allow me to be able to deal with these kinds of challenges. The problem is that it's not like that for everyone. And I think that what we are doing is essentially we are condemning 70% of our school leaving population, primary school leaving population every year for reasons which are not fair. And that's why I don't like it.
What I don't like about the system is taking an exam on one day and making a decision about your life. That, I know, is a problem. But I thought by now we were using continuous assessment, like Sandy was saying, where you were following the child up to that point in time, so that the final mark is not the only determining factor.
But, sir, what are we continuously assessing the child for? What is our objective of continuous assessment?
Well, you have a curriculum, and you are seeing if they are performing in this on this curriculum.
Okay. The curriculum is designed to do what exactly? Can we get in somewhere? What's the curriculum designed to do?
To teach you, first of all.
No. The curriculum is designed right now for one thing. And what is that? The 11 plus.
That's your thing, but I don't.
All right. What do you think the curriculum is about then?
But having children gone through the school, it's true that I did look at 11 plus. No. But where my children didn't look as though they were going to do too well, I prepared them otherwise.
But why did you prepare? How did you prepare them otherwise?
By making sure they get tuition, private, help them myself.
There you go.
And expose them.
Sir, you've answered the question, right? But sir, my central point is that the curriculum in the primary school is about 11 plus. That is the basis on which a primary school education is judged and determined.
Private schools as well? Private schools.
Private schools have the opportunity to express different latitudes, and some of them do.
But
ironically, they all do better in 11 plus.
They work hard towards 11 plus.
The private school work
hard. And the thing about the private school is that you get children who could afford it but don't have these abilities you're talking about either. And they go through the system too. So are they at a disadvantage as well?
Okay, but let me ask you this question. If I were to say to you, I want to create a world in which when a child goes into primary school, they are not judged in 6 years based on the mark they get in 11 plus. Indeed, I'm not judging them at all. I am saying to you that the first 6 years of your school life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to find the ways and means of making you functional in this society. I'm going to try to find out what you're good at, and I'm going to help you to be better at it. I'm going to try to find out what you have challenges with, and I'm going to help you to solve those challenges. And then when you get to 11, I'm going to take you to another school. And I'm going to continue that process of trying to ensure that the things that you are good at, you can be better at. The things that you need support in, we support you in them. And then
How are you going to select this second school for
The one that close to you. Because they're not different, all of them is the same.
Well, maybe theoretically.
Because you know what I want to do also, and this is something that the boomer was making, right? Yeah. I want to ensure that when school finished, you could do scouts. You could do swimming. You could do athletics, right?
But
I want to make sure that you can do after-school activities. You can go and do photography.
In primary or secondary.
You think that y'all like at school is the NCCCF, the church thing?
Yeah.
Right. All of that you could do.
You talk about primary school or secondary school?
I'm talking about secondary school. So I'm saying that I'm going to send you to a secondary school that will allow you to be able to do all these things after school and then go home before the sun gets
dark. Sorry? Do you think things that happen now at secondary school? You just leave and go to swimming? You just leave and go to Scouts?
Sir, how are you going to leave St. Lucie Secondary if you live in St. Philip and go to Scouts?
You don't got Scouts up there.
But sir, then how are you going to get home at a decent time?
Well, come to a Scouts down here then, if that is the case.
But there lies the problem. That is to bring you to a school down there. I solve any problems. I ain't even send you to Scouts down there. I send you to school down there. So there's a school in St. Philip called Princess Margaret. You live in St. Philip, you go to Princess Margaret. After school, you can do all of these different things and you can get home and your mother host at a decent time.
Let me look now at a system.
But what happened that you're running from the issue? Let me deal with the issue.
No, but I hear all this.
But what sounds so bad about what I am proposing?
It seems logistically a problem in the long run.
How?
If I put you at a, but even beyond logistics, if I put you at a school near to me, and you're saying that all of these schools are equal, I don't have no guarantee that these schools
are equal. That is the problem. And what's logistically difficult about that? That's not a logistical problem. That's a perception problem.
What is the difference right now between, say, Harrison College and Parkinson? What's the big difference?
Between what? Princess Margaret, Parkinson, and Harrison College?
Yeah, what's the difference?
The difference is the students, the cohort of students.
Because the teachers
Harrison College gets, the teachers are all the same. The Harrison College gets the best students. Input in, input out. Sorry, input, output. Garbage in, garbage out. Excellence in, excellence out.
You mean at Harrison College?
Precisely.
All the schools?
No, all the schools.
Right, where you get is where...
If you send it, precisely. So the difference between the schools is not the building, it's not the teachers. The difference is the type of student. Because we have an orientation towards the classic subjects.
Yeah.
And the presumption that if you do better in the CXCs, in the classic subjects, then that's ultimately a better school. So, you know.
All right, talking about this system I heard about in Europe, my niece came back here.
But sir, were you running from... You have started out by saying to me that there are these fundamental challenges with my system. I've explained to you a couple of things about it, and I'm asking you to tell me what's so bad that would make me this vicious, evil person.
Perception. You still got to deal with perception. Cause if you say perception is an issue...
But perception is going to change.
Sir,
listen, my perception is that Foundation is the best school in this island, right? I would put my head on a block for saying that. That's my perception. The fact that there are other people who believe differently, that's their business. You ever meet somebody from Common Mirror that didn't think Common Mirror was the best school in the island?
But best based on what?
But there you go. So the point is that perceptions can change. And I can tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the best school is the island. I don't want to hear nothing about Queen's College. I don't want to hear nothing about Common Mirror. I don't want to hear nothing about Harrison's. Foundation is the best school. What we have to do is we have to get to a stage where everyone will perceive that the school that they went to is the best school. Ultimately, it's the best school because it's where they went.
Well, let me tell you something.
You ever had a conversation with a Parkinsonian?
I ain't there.
Right. You ever speak to this guy, Alf? Alf feels the same way about Parkinson that I feel about Foundation. Why have no problem with that?
I feel so too.
Right, but there's a perception. So then we have solved the problem, sir.
No.
Problem fixed. Perception, we can change it.
How are you going to
by sending school a child there, if the child went to Parkinson, if you're Parkinson, the best school. QED. Sir, okay. Stick a pin. We're going to take a message and they're going to come back and give you the final word.
All right. Good.
Yes, sir. You were about to say.
Yeah. Let me tell you, first of all, I do not believe that people are single uni-skill as you may have been trying to say. If you like music, you go...
Multiple skills.
People are multi-skill.
I agree.
It could be good at many things.
Right.
And I think that's why the system was, the curriculum was so broad, allow you to do gardening, at the same time, allow you to do music, singing, everything. And then you will go on later on in life to specialize in an area. But the exposure is necessary. I wonder if you should streamline children from so early in a primary school, where they haven't seen really a whole lot of things or enough.
But sir, is that not what we're doing now? If you think, if you agree with multiple intelligences, that's what exactly the educators call it. You're an educator?
Yes.
Okay, right. Yeah, so you're familiar with the concept of multiple intelligences, right?
Yes.
Right. One of my challenges with the system as it stands is that it presumes that notwithstanding we have multiple locations of intelligence, or it can be expressed in different ways, that ultimately English, maths, and comprehension is the basis on which we determine your intelligence quotient.
Right.
So ultimately, what you are saying that I am suggesting is not what I'm suggesting. And what I am suggesting is that the 11 plus approach is essentially a rejection of that phenomenon. Because it says, regardless of how creative you are, regardless of where your skills lay, ultimately, English maths and comprehension is basis on which we will judge you, full stop. I have a problem with that, because I agree with you that many people have different skills. I have several different interests.
Right. So you might be suggesting that you test you in many more of the skills.
Well, my thing is that we don't test you at all. Let me assess you. Let's assess you based on different criteria. Let us not test you based on a punitive thing of which school you will go to.
But if you look at moving from one level in a school system, no, not moving to another school.
Right.
From one level to another, you are constantly testing children.
Yeah, this is fine. If you are able to test me in all of the different things, for example, if I'm into languages, you can test me in those. I think testing is useful because it lets you know where the strengths and weaknesses are.
That's right.
So I am all for testing. I just don't have I don't like punitive testing.
So okay. So you are saying you know the current system where you have like an A stream, B stream, and C.
I don't know.
Many people are in a C stream and they do rather get moved up to A, or if you were in an A, you move down. So you disagree with that?
Because that assumes that the things that you do in the A stream is the important things to do, and if you can't do them well, you are a B or C streamer. So the concept of a slow learner carries with it the presumption that there are certain things you ought to know.
Right.
When I would argue that there's no such thing as a slow learner, is this a learner that learning things different?
Right.
If you give me a quadratic equation, I will always be a slow learner because I don't have a clue and I will never have a clue. Right?
What I've found, Peter, though,
agreed?
Yes, I agree with that.
The CXC syllabus requires that I know about quadratic equations. And that's the reason why I don't have CXC maths. So you may determine that I am a slow learner, and indeed I was in technical class at school, which means that I was considered a slow learner. But I as bright as any other boys or girls that were in the A stream and the B stream.
Many people dislike a subject. Like in the case of the quadratic equation and the Laplacian equation, you always find it was just some gaps that I had done earlier with the mathematics, you know.
Sir, don't come with that. I tried to finish the conversation. Are you now igniting my passion by telling me nonsense like that?
Let me conflagrate it.
Sir, that is foolishness. Sir, there's no reason. Why did I need to learn quadratic equations from earlier? Why did I need to learn it?
No. I didn't tell you need to learn quadratic
equations. Right. So you tell me that I got a problem with it because I had a challenge in terms of the earlier learning. I had a problem with it because it's irrelevant.
So you only learn things because they're relevant?
Pretty much.
But let me tell you
something. It's irrelevant to me?
No, a lot of things at your stage in life are not relevant. The reason why you teach people a lot of things is because they're going to need them later on.
When will I have needed quadratic equations, sir?
I don't know if you might have gone on to do physics. Suppose you went
But sir, I was not going to go on to do physics. I think it was pretty obvious in school that if I can't pass physics at first form, that I'm not going to go on to be a physicist.
So there's no need for mathematics?
Sir, there's a need for mathematics, but not quadratic equations.
I am a
statistician for all intents and purposes. This is what I do for a living, and I do not have basic math. I do not have general math to CXC.
But you know what happens in statistics.
What has been happening is that your presumption that I need quadratic equations for life has been flawed because I gained you quite good and I need a quadratic equation at 50 years old.
I wasn't saying quadratic equations. All I'm saying is that when you have a problem in any subject area, because you used that as an example.
Yeah.
In any subject area, I'm just saying that somebody, the foundation is weak. That's all.
I am saying to you that the foundation maybe needs to be weak. Because maybe the thing that you're trying to teach me is irrelevant. So I am saying to you, instead of trying to force quadratic equations down my throat in a situation where I don't need them, maybe you should give me the opportunity to do something else that I like and that I need. No?
No, I'm just saying build a foundation properly. And then
problem with the foundation we want build is a foundation based on things that I am interested in and that are interesting and that I need to know.
You cannot be interested in them if you didn't have a foundation. The lack of a proper foundation is going to skew you in a particular direction.
Sir, the point is that I think you are beginning to understand the basis of my concerns, right? But you still have this fundamental idea that there are certain things a child ought to know.
I
agree there are certain things a child ought to know, right?
I believe so.
But Chairman, I am not with you regarding what those things are. And I think that one of the problems is that we have a misunderstanding regarding what the things are a child ought to know, right? Me and Sandy get away all the time because she believes that a child needs a religious education in order to survive. I disagree.
Well, not these days where people got different religions.
Right. She also argues that children need to learn how to spell properly, right? I have a bias there because I can't spell. I write a whole master's dissertation.
They need to write properly for sure.
But what? That is a perfect example. To write what, sir?
To write, if I am teaching and they're writing to me, well, I need to understand what to write.
Right, if you can understand the writing properly. If you can understand it, obviously writing properly.
But I can't understand.
But sir, no, then they're not writing properly. If they can form the letters well enough for you to understand, the problem that a lot of people have, they're writing in pretty.
No, man, some of these scribbles are really hard to understand.
Well, very hard, they can understand it.
But there's another.
Have you ever met a doctor who's writing you can understand?
No, they write so deliberately, but they can write differently. I got two children that do not write properly at all. It is true that they're going through university and get their degrees, but I don't know.
Sir, hold on, stick a pin. Your children have university degrees and I can't write properly, right?
Yes.
I'm telling you that I got two university degrees, I can't write properly. Sir, I write so badly these days that when I write something on a piece of paper, I just can't understand it.
I was in the supermarket
the other day with a list, and I was asking people if they could tell me what they think that is on the list.
Well,
right?
you call that properly, but that's not
writing properly. But I don't write properly. But I can tell you I do not write properly, and I'm saying that my challenge is that I don't understand what the problem is with not being able to write properly.
Because, okay, if I correct in mathematics, and a guy writes a 4 like a 9.
Right, you got to be able to understand.
I'm not sure if the answer is right or wrong.
Sir, I am enjoying this conversation so much that time got away from me. Anyhow, you're going to have to get the final word and then we will move on because Dennis tells us it's time to go to the regional roundup. So go right ahead.